at the end of last week's show, someone wasn't connected to me, except for me. So what do I do? Well, I'm trying to give you now what they do, I'm trying to go down. So now, we're up to number three. Number three is our women who cover their hair completely, except that they show a tefach, or they show up to a tefach. It means they will, like many women do, they will show, they will have a hat or a tassel, and then in the front they'll show approximately two fingers deep, or they can do it on the side, or they can do it in the back. They're showing a tefach l'chatchila. Tefach b'she'er, but doesn't mean that you're allowed to do it. It means if it's shown, it doesn't contravene, it doesn't present problems. But we're talking about a shita that a makir, a woman who covers her completely, but will constantly show a tefach square. Okay, now that those women hold absolute, that Moshe's is absolute, that indeed is also absolute, Seher b'she'er, absolute, but the tefach is a leniency of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Rav Moshe, we read it. Rav Moshe says, because of the unique nature of hair, you can be lenient and show a tefach l'chatchila. All right, number four. Number four is, what? The meaning of the chatchila, you don't have to cover all the hair. A tefach of hair can be shown.
So that's the same
as the first? It's the same as the first, it's the same as two, but you can show a tefach. It's the same, your hair is, they hold that you have to be completely covered. But in privacy, you don't have to. Okay, but if there are men around or you have to have to come together. But they allow a tefach's worth of hair. Okay, so that's a little lenient. Now, number four is the, as above, that means they'll show a tefach, but they'll show sideburns and hair not gathered in the hair. That is, that's the hair on the side. And the hair that comes out the back, because if you have a hairnet or a hat that collects the hair that comes down the back that can't be collected and the sideburns are mutter to show, plus the tefach, also the tefach also. So that is the leniency, the leniency of the Maharam al Shakir. Okay, where he says that was never forbidden. That woman always should. Okay, now we're moving to a new group. They cover their hair completely, only in the street, but not in the house, even if others are present. Okay? Now, again, and everything, there can be several different variations, but I'm going, these are women, when they go out, they cover their hair. But in their house, they don't cover their hair, even if their men are there. So who do they hold by? Well, they clearly hold that Dakmosh is absolute, and then you go outside, you gotta cover, and that Yudit is absolute also, and that's why they cover all their hair. However, they say that Yehudit is not applicable in the house. There's no problem in the house. They don't have to cover their hair because Farah or Shisha. Furthermore, they hold that Seyav Misha Erva is a relative concept. And if most women, or most women in the Jewish community, which are considered modest, not necessarily rabbinic or necessarily from, but what's considered modest, don't cover their hair, they don't have to cover their hair. There's no problem with sexual distraction. So they hold when it comes to in the house, even if there are men there, they don't have to cover their hair, because it's not sexually distracting. In the street, they have to cover their hair, because Farah or Shisha, and because of Dash Yudit. All right, now number six is a variation of that. That is, they, in the street, will show a tefach, or show the sideburns, and, okay, so that's a variation of six, just adding on three and four. Okay, now we move to another seven. There's a substantive difference. They cover their hair in the street, and in the house if other men are present, but show more than a tefach. Okay? Now, what does that mean? If they cover their hair in the street, but they show more than a tefach, that means that they hold that you're obligated that Moshe is absolute, you must cover your hair. But how much does that Moshe minimally require? Answer, it minimally requires a minimal covering. There's some covering of the head. That's what that motion requires. And it's applicable in the house if other men are present. They hold that, yes, you got to cover your hair in the house if other men are present. So if they walk out, they'll wear a hat showing a lot of hair. And in the house, if a man comes to the house, they'll also come there. They hold that's extension of that duty too. That duty is covering your hair in public. What's the definition of public? Other men are around. That's how they understand.
Wait, shouldn't that say absolute then?
Harai Rav.
What?
Should that be the share of the...
No, because that you did requires you to cover your whole head. And they don't cover their whole head because they hold the dat yudit as relative. And since most women, most Jewish women who are, considered dressing modestly don't cover their hair, it's not considered rich, so they don't have to cover them. All they have to do is worry about dat moshe. What comes to say, Rishon also hold relative. Okay. Now, covers hair in street only, but shows more than tefach, which means in the house she doesn't cover her. So that's now, we say, it's absolute minimal covering required, applicable street only, which means that what's considered public. If there are other, if there are men around in my house, that's not public. And so that's the difference between 7 and 8. And there are a lot of women who will show a lot of hair, and the house of a man comes out, they cover their hair, and that's one. She, the other woman will uncover their hair. For instance, Rebbetzin Berman, Saul Berman's wife. Okay? When I discussed with Saul Berman, what is Shita? Is Shita number 8. That holds that the fact that a man comes to the house doesn't require a woman to cover hair, because he holds that that you did is relative, he holds Sarah Mishay, everybody's relative, and that Moshe only requires coverings, a minimal covering. Okay. Now, number 9, doesn't cover hair at all, but wears a braid. Now, this is rare, but I know several women who do this. I know women in the Feigenbaum family from Cleveland. There are several women who don't cover their hair, but do wear a braid. I'm not going to wear a braid or wear the hair, not necessarily a braid, but at least pinned up, not loose. Why do they hold that? That's because of the, it's based on the Magen Avraham, who holds the Ufara Rosh Hashah, public requires a braid or the hair not loose. And everything else is relative, so therefore she doesn't mind if she's hair is covered or not. But some farah, the biblical requirement, requires farah l'shisha. And then the final position, which is also a halakhic position, is that the woman doesn't cover her hair at all. And what is that based on? There are two possibilities. She doesn't cover her hair at all. It's because she holds the dat moshe. Okay, is a custom. It's a custom recorded in the Torah. We saw that's called what they poskim call minhag oraita, a custom of the Torah. And while the Torah seems to record and maybe even praise it and assumes it as normative, it's only a custom. The Torah never required it, according to these poskim. The fact that the Gemara calls it d'oraita, the fact that the Gemara even includes it in that motion does is only because it's mentioned in the Torah. Okay, so that's one alternative. Clearly, and everything else they hold is relative. The other alternative is that they hold it is biblical. But it's a mitzvah asay, right? It's a, that there is a Moshe Feinstein analyzed it. It's a positive commandment to cover your hair. And when it comes to positive commandments, you don't have to fulfill them if, as a result, you will incur a loss of 1/5 of your wealth. Now, 1/5 of your wealth is the halakhic measure, but includes many other things. For instance, if you lose your husband, Shalom Bayit considerations, or you won't be able to get married, or a variety of considerations. Rav Moshe talks about a grusha, or an almana, that's one possibility, or a woman who becomes a chozer b'tshuva, and her husband's not willing to put up with the fact that she doesn't cover her hair. He says, if you do it, I'm going to divorce you. So that would be an example of a situation where the woman doesn't cover her hair, because it's a mitzvah of saying, she stands to worth the equivalent of 1/5. Okay? So that's another possibility. Yes?
How do we know that according to that Moshe, an almanah or grusha
has to cover her hair? It's an analysis of the show. We discussed it only in Tshuva Rav Moshe Feinstein, where he talks about that. He mentions he believes it's not Yehudit. There is a Rambam, and there's also the Shulchan Aruch says that Pnuyot have to cover their hair. The question is, how do you understand Pnuyot having to cover their hair? We just said that Pnuyot don't have to cover their hair. So it said, Pnuyot, that means women who are married. Okay. So that's it. I trust that I've covered everybody. I didn't cover those who don't cover their hair out of non-Allah consideration. Okay. That's now, now let's go back. Let's now go back. I'm impressed that you should do that in 15 minutes. Let's now, we're going back now. Let's now go back to the question we deal with Andrew Laxley, which was, are women obligated to cover their hair like men when they daven, when they make brachot, when they learn Torah? Is there a special obligation to do so? And we saw, okay, we saw that one of the Sephardi poskim called the Yaskila of Avadia Hadaya, who was the chief justice in the Yerushalayim Beit Din, said if women got to cover their hair, men got to cover their hair too, and there's no difference, and the Beis Yaakov schools are ruining our girls, and it's not right that the girls don't cover their hair. Makes a difference. You're married, not married, you got to cover your hair. Okay, we're going to skip the Tzitz Eliezer now, and we're going to read a whole tshuva. It's a beautiful tshuva called the Echad Adat. You see in the left hand, the third left column. It's three columns. We're going to read the whole tshuva. It's a beautiful tshuva by Rav Avadia Yosef. Okay? And Rav Avadia Yosef, now let me explain something. Rav Avadia Yosef has, his books are in several formulations. We're called rabbinic lashon hara. One of the things that makes Rav Avadia Yosef so impressive is that he's the head of a mafia, a Torah mafia. What do I mean? In addition to being an incredible scholar with a photographic memory and a computer type mind, I mean, everything he reads, he retains. And everything is retained. I mean, the first time I came to Israel in 1974, they had a program, a Selah Harav, from time to time before Bichadim. And Mordechai Priman was the host. And it started off in Hilchot Pesach, but it went to everything. And Mordechai and Rav Avadia Yosef was traditional style. Somebody asked him a question, he would say, the Chuvah's Kach and see here, I and see here, see there, see there, see there, go to. Then he would see the other Chuvah and go back and forth. And this went on for about 45 minutes. Mordechai Priman says, I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, I've never seen anything like this in my whole life. He says, this gentleman has walked in here without a book. And every source he gives you is accurate. And it, you know, it's just like flows. I mean, it's an incredible gift. Every tshuva of Rav Avadia Yosef is encyclopedic. If you can find a tshuva of Avadia Yosef on the subject that you're doing, you've got your research done for. It's a mind boggling. His tshuvot are Yabia Omer. These are thick volumes. He's put out 8 volumes to date. Then, for a while, he had a television show. It was the Erev Shabbos show between 3 and 4. And at 3:45, there would be a Pinasha Halacha. And these were shorter tshuvot. Very often, they were points already raised in the Yabia Omer, but much more focused. They focused on a particular problem. The nature of the tshuva was geared more for ancha, more for the people listening to the show, which were cross-section, not necessarily. Huh?
Show, the
baradio. The baradio, slicha. It's a radio. In English, you say radio show. That's okay. Okay, it was on the radio, and it was about 10 minutes, and he would discuss it. And then these were written up and put into a book called Yechavedat. And there are 6 volumes of Yechavedat. Okay? Then, in addition to that, he would give Shir and Motzei Shabbat, which were then transcribed and are being put out now. He publishes a weekly column in Yom HaShishi, and all that stuff. It was eventually used in a variety of different formats and booklets. He was blessed with 3 incredible sons. Each of them Rosh Hashiva in their own right. Each who were very loyal to their father. Not always in politics, there's one son who was rebellious when it comes to politics, but in halacha, very loyal. They have, there's Yitzchak Yosef, has managed to rework his father's shuvot, according to Shulchan Aruch, so that he's taken all his father's works and reorganized it based on Shulchan Aruch. Because if I can say, if he's dealing with a tshuva, let's say, with a guy to Laguna, but he'll bring, discuss all sorts of issues related to all variety of topics. And what he's done is redigested it. Now that comes out in volumes, there must be like 12, 13 volumes called Yalkut Yosef, and Shdavening, and Shabbat. And he's also about this, and he's incredible. He's absolutely incredible. And if you want to try to understand the power of Avi Yosef as a Sephardi guru, it's because he taught Sephardi Jewry how to compete with Ashkenazim by their rules and win. When it came to halacha, he insisted on Sephardi, quote unquote, black is beautiful, Sephardi pride. You can be just as great a Talmud Chacham. Sephardim were very, very, they would, Sephardim, you look at all the Sephardi leadership, until Avadi Yosef came to before, they all were educated in Ashkenazi institutions. Now, thanks to Rishon Ben Tzion and Rashi Reparat Yosef and several other Gedolim, primarily the leadership of Avadi Yosef, they're now sitting at their own yeshiva. And Sephardi men will now marry Sephardi women. It was very, very popular. Sephardi, Tamil Chacham, marrying Ashkenazi. A whole variety of phenomena that occurred in Avadi Yosef, and also he did it in politics and writing. That's part of it. It's about Zir Atara Yoshna. Avadi Yosef did what he said he was going to do, and he's an absolute phenomenal individual. Whether you agree with the politics or not, it's neither here nor there. You have to understand the phenomenon of a really incredible individual. Having said that, let's not read the truth. Very lovely truth. Okay. In Mutah, when Ma'arot Ravakot, Shirigilot Lalechet Tamid Begilui Rosh, Litpalel Levarech Brachot Lelok Tzimosh. Okay, can unmarried women, who normally go with their hair uncovered, can they daven and say brachot with their hair, without their hair cut? Tshuva. The Masechet Sofrim, now what is Masechet? Masechet Sofrim is material written following the closing of the Gemara. The Gemara was essentially finished somewhere around 500 of the Common Era. For the next 100, 150 years, we have a period that's called the Saboraim. The Saboraim were essentially the next chain in the link to leading it to the major, next major blossoming, which is the Gaonic period. But we have about like 150 year period in which we have a variety of Saboraim. We don't always know their names. They continue the tradition of the Babylonian schools, and they did some minor codification. The Masechet Sofrim tends to fall in that genre of literature, which it's not really clear what its authority is. Okay, whether it's Mishnaic literature, which they edited, Amoraic literature, which they edited, or they wrote, or they codified, it's not very clear. It still clearly does not have the same authority as the Gemara. There will often be distinction between the Gemara and the Masechet Sofrim. But in any case, and this is one of the whole variety of volumes that appear in the Gemara that are called the Masechtot Ketanot, Masechet Derech Eretz, and the Masechtot Tefillin, variety of halachot. Okay. Ita, so the Masechet Sofrim, Ita, Pocheach Shinir'im Kar'av, O Misha Roshon Gulem, Mutam Lo Nefros Al Shema. A Pocheach. Pocheach is one whose clothing is tattered. His clothing is tattered, torn. Shinir in ka'av, that you see his the bottom of his leg. Okay. Oh, mi shevosho megule. Oh, there is one whose head is uncovered. Mutan lo lefos al shema. He's allowed to be poes al shema. That's essentially say, yeah, this is, I don't want to get into the details of it, it's al shema. But essentially, from Kaddish, before Baruch Hu, before Baruch Hu and Shachri, up to the Shmona Esrei, he can be pores al Hashma. V'yesh omrim מי שקראב מגולים ובגדת פרומים פורס על השמה can serve as a shliach tzibur for that section, אבל לא מי שלושה מגולת, but not one whose head is uncovered. שאינו רשאי להוציא הזכרה מפיו, because you're not allowed to mention God's name with your head uncovered. So you see, there are two views of the Masechet Sofrim. Essentially, one says that you can daven with your head uncovered, the other one says you can't daven with your head uncovered. The Katava Beit Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, in his, before he wrote, as you may remember, Rabbi Yosef Karo, before he wrote his Shulchan Aruch, he wrote a lengthy commentary, an encyclopedic commentary to his day, on the Tour, which was the writing of the Yaakov, the son of Rabbi Elasher, who wrote it in the middle of 1300s, and he wrote a lengthy commentary from that. He digests the conclusion of the Beit Yosef, and that's what he called that the Shulchan Aruch. So the Katava Beit Yosef, שנראה שמחלוקתם, the machloket between these two views in the Masechet Sofrim, היא אמותה לברך בגלי הראש או הסוף. Can you make a bracha with your head uncovered or not? ופסק רבנו יוחנן, one of the early Rishonim wrote, שאסור לברך בגלי הראש. והכי נתין, and Rav Yosef Karo says, רבנו יוחנן says, it's usher, and that's how we are. וזו לשון מרן בשולחן ערוך. This is what Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote in the Shulchan Aruch. יש אומרים שאסור להוציא הזכרה מפיו וראש מגולה. There are those who say that it's forbidden to say God's name with your head uncovered. ויש אומרים שיש למחות שלא להיכנס לבית הכנסת בירושלים. There are those who say you can't even enter the synagogue with your head uncovered. והדבר ברור שדעת מרן, and it's clear from the Beit, not from the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch he brings, he says, there are those who say. But from the Beit Yosef that we read before, that Rabbi Yosef Karo clearly came down on the side of Rabbeinu Yerucham, who said it was usur to daven, to make a bracha with your head uncovered. Although I have to be careful here, because you're going to see a distinction in a moment. What's at issue right now is a bracha. Davening, or is when I talk, tefillah is shmona esre. And it should be very clear that Shmona Esre is standing in front of the king. Brachot, mentioning God's name, but you're not in God's presence. God's up there, you're down here, you make a bracha, acknowledging his dominion. It's not the same as you're being right there. God's right here in front of you. God's here, you're in the God's palace, you're dominant. That's Shmona Esre. So clearly, Shmona Esre is much stricter than stop making a bracha. Okay? So we'll make the distinction, but right now he's saying you can't make a bracha. Because Pores al Shema talking about stop making a bracha. Okay? You can't make a bracha with your head uncovered. Let's go back to where we were. Vadavar Baru, Shedad Maran Nefsok Kadat Ayeshomrin, Shevi Mitkila, which he brought originally, Shasul Varech Berosh Megulet. It's forbidden to make a bracha with the head uncovered. Ukidvarav Beit Yosef, as he said in the Beit Yosef. Vayeshomim Batra, in the second Yeshomim, Baolosif, they came to add a further stringency. Shagam Nikanes, Bilvav Beit Knesset Asur. That just to walk into the shul is forbidden. Vayeshim Chotacha. And you have to object to it. By the way, this is a real question. When I was Rabbi Harbert Hillel, a very weird gentleman walked in shul with his head uncovered. I said, are you Jewish? And he said, yes. I said, would you put on a kippah? And he said, no. I said, why not? He says, because I took a neder not to put on a kippah. I said, well, we'll be happy to set up a bed in here and match the neder for you. No. I mean, he said, no, I don't want to be match the neder. I said, well, then I'll find someplace else to go. The question is whether you can make the neder in the first place.
The neder
like
that is ridiculous.
It's
not real.
You can't. That's not
how we formulated
the neder. He said, I'll never cover my head. It will be tough faced because he's not only doing it on something that's halacha. So I'll never cover my head. So it's more general. It gets into the laws of nedarim, okay? But that was an interesting case. You might see this strange, but it's not as strange as it seems. All right.
Strange.
The Zoe.
When a screen goes off, then you're gonna have.
I told you it was strange. Zoe Svarat Rabbeinu Peretz, Shuva Bevet Yosef Yishem Kolbo. Now he's beginning to cite sources that agree. The Chenu Brachot Chayim, Dine Bet HaKnesset of Zion, Daf Chet of Bet, that you can't walk into a shul with your head uncovered, and if the person does that, you will tell him to leave. The Chen Pasak Od Maran B'Shulchan Aruch Hilchot Brachot. Excuse me? The Chen Pasak Od Maran. Maran means our master, it's the first Rabbi Yosef Karo. B'Shulchan Aruch Hilchot Brachot. Sima B'Shulchan Gimel. V'Zeh L'Shono. By the way, will you see though where this tiny print begin, four lines above that at the beginning of the line. So and here he says explicitly, Bafilu im eino avum, even if a man is not naked, im libo et erva, if we discussed this when we talked about, if the garment is such that there is no division between his genitals and his heart, that they're all in the same area, even if he's dressed, O Shiva Shal Megule, or his head is uncovered, also the Torah, you can't make a bracha. So you see, the Rabbi Yosef Karo explicitly states that it's forbidden to make a bracha with your head uncovered. From this you see, Shemaran HaShulchan Aruch Posek L'Asol L'Varech B'Gilui Rosh. Forbidden that he says it's also. V'chein Dat HaGaon Rabbi Yisrael Isselin B'Shel HaTushuvot Tumat HaDesh, and that's also the view of Rabbi Yisrael Isselin. Urei bepsakim uktavim lamarei isalin anah besimarei shkibot. Okay, ula. Okay, now what he's done is he set up the Shulchan Aruch very clearly in other poskim, forbidden to make a bracha with your hair uncovered. Now he's going to give you the other side. What's the other side? Ula na Rambam pasak shetzarich letaken ma'bushav letzayen ula hader atzmo v'achakach yitpalel. The person before he daven shmones, right? Okay, has got to fix his clothing. Now, I don't know if you have noticed it, but if you ever go into yeshiva, you'll see, if you look carefully, the guys when they get up, they're dabbling shmoneh esrei, they'll get up, they'll fix their suits, they'll adjust their hats, they'll fix their tie. It's halacha. Halacha is, you're not going into God's presence. You're going into a very important business meeting here. Make sure you look your best. That's halacha. That's what the Rambam says. Because before what? Before shmoneh esrei. Okay, here in that first line, in the middle of the first line. Pasak making himself look at spiffing. V'achar kach yitpalel. Shenemar yishtachvu l'Hashem b'hadrat kodesh. Bow down to God in the glory of the sanctity. Lefichach, end of that second line. Lo yamol yitpalel v'rosh megule. Therefore, says the Rami, you should not stand up shmoneh esrei with your head uncovered. Implication is what? What were you doing until Shmoneh Esrei? Your hair was uncovered. Right? I can't. Mumuchah, so Rabbi Yosef says, Rabbi Yosef says the same thing. Mumuchah, Shishab, Kachor. Until that point, on the other bracha, Mutal Avarech B'Gilui Yavosh. V'zeo Kedah Tanakama Shem V'Masechet Sofrim. And now, that's like the view of the Masechet Sofrim. V'chein Katav, Rabbi Yehuda Ayish, V'sechot Achim Yehuda. He gives a citation. Sharambam Sover, the beginning of the sixth line. She'ein isu begile ha'rosh ela b'sha'a sh'omeid b'tfilat shmoneh esrei. That the Rabbi Rambam holds every time you have to have your head covered is in shmoneh esrei. Avo b'sha'a brachot mutah. The other brachot you can make with your head uncovered. U'kedat ha'nakama sh'ba masachat sofrim. This is the first view of the masachat sofrim. V'chein katav. Now he's in this idea what we call b'kis. Okay, now he's concerning, but he does this in his Yavi Omer, this will go on for the next four paragraphs. Here, it's limited. Here's the major references. V'chein katav b'sefer Matzeh Ephraim Abdit, v'alzavu ha'chelek bet katav. Kol olin l'minyan shiv'a afilu katav. That as far as the halacha in origin is concerned, that anyone can get aliyah, even a minor, nir'eh be'inai, she'tzarich lizaher she'katav lo yikra b'torah, that a minor should not be from the Torah berosh megulet. Because in Sephardi communities, you have to understand, the ones who were very careful covering their head were the chachamim, the rabbis, the klekodesh. But the average person, certainly the children, didn't cover their head. He says, if you're going to make this child, you can give this child an aliyah to make sure his head's covered. Ki shema halacha ki yesh omrin Shemasechet Sofrin Perek Yudalet. Because maybe the halacha is like the second view of this other Masechet Sofrin that you have to cover your head. Shemish Rasham Megula Lo Yifros Al Shema Velo Yikra B'Torah. You're not allowed to say bracha or to mention God's name. The Efshar Shebekriyat HaTorah Gam Tanakama Modeh. And maybe in the, when it comes to the learning of Torah, even the Tanakama said you can make a random bracha with your hand covered. When it comes to learning Torah, where you mention God's name from the Torah, that maybe you would admit that you have to cover your head. The Enira Be'inai, he says, and it doesn't seem appropriate to me, Minhag Rabotenu Shebetzofat, the custom in Tzofat, this is Tzofat in the 1700s, Shematirim Levarek Barosh Megulel, that in Tzofat, they allow the people going around making bracha with their hair and head uncovered. Ve'ini yodeh lekayen min adam, I can't explain the custom. Im lo kedah tanakama shu masachet sofrim. It's not like the view of the first view of the masachet sofrim. It says you can make brachot with the head and cover. U'b'shelot tshuvot Rabbeinu Shlomo Luria. The Rashal was one of the major pillars of Pesach. He was a contemporary of the Shulchan Aruch and Rav Moshe Kislish in the 1500s. He writes as follows, כתב, שאף שאמרי, פשוט לא שאסור להזכיר השם בגילי ראש, even though the Mari holds that it's obvious that you can't make a brother with a head and cover, הנה מצאתי במסכת סופין, תוך ידעת את מחלוקת בזה, there's a מחלוקת במסכת סופין. רבי ירוחם פסק כיש אומרים לעשות, רבי יוחנן, רבי ירוחם says, you should be מחמר, Vilmalei she'enini ragil lachlok al-rishonim, and if we're not for the fact that I'm careful not to disagree with rishonim, ein ani im ein gadol she'yisayeni, unless there was some other rishon who would be on my side, some giant on my side, hayiti noten lakel levarech begilei rosh. I, the marshal, would say it's all right to make brachos with the head uncovered. Okay, why? Al-pi ha-medrash v'yikara, because there's a medrash in v'yikara where God says to Klal Yisrael, I'm not like the God of the other nations. The God of the other nations requires you to cover your head when you pray. It says, lo hitrachti alechem likro kriyat shema begili rosh. I don't require you to say kriyat shema with your head covered. But the Marashah says, what can I do? The scholars of the generation of Yosef Karo and the like have ruled that it's usher to pray with the Arab covers. You see, the Marashah himself holds that it's perfectly all right. And he brings a medrash that says, okay, if you want to know where we are, from the bottom, we're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 15, where it says, v'chem, וכן דעת פריחדש. וכן דעת פריחדש, וגם דמי דברי הראש בפסקה פרק הרואה, מוכח שמן הדין מותר לברך בגילוי הראש. Okay, let me tell you what that's going on. This is a very fascinating. Let me bring something to your attention. The Gemara in Brachot is the origin, I mentioned this before, of the Birkat Shachar that we say. We say, okay, the first is, it says, and when you hear the rooster crow, you say, and then you open your eyes, you say, and then you put on your clothing under the covers, we talked about that, you make malvishorumim, then you stand up, you say, matir asurim, you get out of bed, that's matir asurim, then you stand up on the floor, it's okay, then you take your first step, you say, and then you what? You put on your shoes, okay, you take your first steps, you say, you put on your belt, then you put on your hat, your head covering, and you say, Otel Yisrael v'tifara. That's the Gemara. And the Rambam quotes it, just in that language. The Rambam says just that language. He goes through all the things, when you do this, when you do this, and then he says, I could go the whole thing. He says, Ukshaminiya Sadino al Rosho Mabarek. Okay, Yisrael B'tifara. So this is a meaning from the tshuva of Rav Chaim Dabra Levi. So he says, Hare she'adata haya bagalut b'gilei rosh. But you see from the Gemara, that time his head was uncovered. U'be'ech kama brachot. So he said, now, and then he goes on, he says, Rav Chaim Dabra Levi, there are those who want to say that what that's referring to is a second act. That you slept with one act. Now you're coming good to get davin, and I put on a second hand. All right, so that's what Rabbi Vakya said was referring to here, that from Gemara Brachot they would also see that you don't have to cover your head to make Brachot. Right? Okay. I forgot what we have to hear. Yes. וגם מדברי הראש בפסקיו בפרק הרוע ברכות סמך ובבית מוכח שמן הדין מותר לברך בגילוי ראש וכן הוא דעת הרשב"א בתשובה וכן בסמותה וכן מוכח בספר מכתם וברכות חיים וזאת לפי פירושו של מרן בן יוסף בניין ברכת אותו ישראל ותברך which at that point you cut your hair. It's actually not the Brigay Bet Yosef, it's actually going back to the Rambam. Actually, go back to the Gemara. וכן הוכיח, now he's going on, וכן הוכיח במישור בביאו הגרם מהגמרא ברכות, שרק, so what does the Gemara say? שרק מידת חסידות היא שלא להזכיר השם בגילוי ראש. It's only מידות חסידות, מידת חסידות, an act of righteousness to walk around with your head covered when you make ברכות. אבל מן הדין, מוטב, you make ברכות with your head covered, וכתנא קמא במסכת סופרים. ואם אין לנו להלכה אלא כפסק מרן השולחן ערוך הנ"ל, שעושה לברך בגילוי הראש. But he says, when it comes to הלכה, says Rabbi Vadi, said, we have to pass him like the Shulchan Aruch. Even though what? Even though we see great poskim have said you don't have to cover your head, we have to follow the Shulchan Aruch, who holds like those views that say you do have to cover your head. וכן פסק מרן חידה לרבי חיים דבר אזולאי בספר טוב עין שעיקר כדעת מרן השולחן ערוך שאסור לברך בגילי ראש וכל שכן שאסור להתפלל בגילי ראש. He said, even if you want to argue that maybe you can make an isolated brachah with your hair covered, but it's clear that the Rambam that you have to daven with your hair covered. וכן פסק הגאון רפואל אגבי ושאלות של קרני ראם ראו בשל קירת חנדבי ושל נפש למה בסדר גדול ישר etc. Okay, and that's now move on to the punchline. So what has he done for you? So far, he set up for you the sources that suggest that it's forbidden to make brachot, and in the many sources that it's permitted to make brachot, and it's only needed chasidut to cover your hair when you make a bracha. And then we saw also an in-between position, which is the position of the Rambam, that you can make brachot with your head covered, but you can't daven, can't say shmon esrei, except with your head covered.
I remember learning that there's a difference in the application for Ashkenazi and for Sephardi, because in addition to the custom of covering one's head, there's also a, one of the makoro is the
Well, I'll come to that. We'll see that in a second. We'll see it in a second. That is the Rabbi Valdenberg's approach to this issue.
That doesn't apply to Sephardi.
It may not. Well, it depends. It depends on what their exposure was. Okay, now let's go on. We're now moving to the punchline. ולכאורה היה נראה מסתמות דברי הפוסקים לברך בגלל הראשון. Since we saw thus far that the consensus of the post of Rabbi Yosef Karo on the left, on the second line from the bottom of the right hand column, that you have to bench, that you have to daven with your head covered, she'en chiluk b'zeh bein ish l'isha, because we know that between men and women, u'bein na'ot rabakot, she'dakan l'adakhe b'gilu hosh, v'nesuot, she'chayin b'ar l'chasot v'shem, or between unmarried women who are running with their walk with their hair uncovered, or married women who are obligated to cover their hair, because she had something that should have been when they go out in the public thoroughfare. Okay? Shekulan chayavim b'kisui ha-rosh ve'ein shemezkirim shem Hashem b'tfilah. They all have to cover their hair when they mention God's name in prayer, u'b'brachot, and benediction, u'b'kriyat when they're reading Torah. Ela she'einenu ha-ra'ot. But we see contrary to this. שבבין הסבר החרדי בית יעקב, שנוסד על ידי גאוני עולם. בית יעקב schools which were set up by scholars of generation. אין הבנות נוהגות לחסות ראשן בשעה שמברכות. The unmarried women don't cover their head when they make ברכות. או קורות בתנ"ך, ומזכירות שם השם, they learn Torah, they mention God's name. וכנראה שסוברים לחלק בזה, they seem to make a distinction. בין אנשים ששורת דרך ארץ היא לחסות ראשן בפני גדולים. They make a distinction between men where the etiquette requires that they cover their head. כמובן בקידושין, as mentioned in the Kiddushin, that men cover their hair before the scholars. ובמסכת קלה, so we have sources that talk about covering the head. ולכן אם יברכו בגיל הראש, נחשב הדבר כזלזול במור השמיים. If they were to daven with their hair uncovered, it would consider being light-headed. מה שאין כן בנות רווקות, שדרכן הולכת תמיד בגילי הראש, עד לנושאים, which is not true of unmarried women, who normally go with their head uncovered in the street, even in front of important people, אינן צריכן לחסות ראשן, גם בשעת שמזכירים שם שמיים. So let's understand what he's done here. Let me just read the next sentence. וזאת בציבוב דת רבותינו שבצרפת ורבם, שסוברים שמותר לברך בגילי ראש, אפילו לאנשים כדעת הנקמה שבמסכת סופרים. Result you say as follows. If we see that unmarried women are not covering their hair when they make brachot, what must the analysis be? There's only one analysis possible. That they hold that the halacha really is like what? That you don't have to cover your hair. Why do men cover their hair? Because the etiquette is that men, when they go in front of important people, we see in the Gemara, that they normally cover their hair. And therefore, if you cover your hair for more people, certainly for God you have to cover your hair. However, women who don't normally cover their hair, unmarried women, who don't normally cover their hair, so when they daven brachot, it's not considered any lightheadedness if they don't cover their hair. That is when we're like, that is mi'ikah hadin, we hold, that when you don't have to cover your hair.
It's
like relative, absolute thing. Since, I mean, now, but I just supposed to take what we have to go to church, I don't know. It's all, it's traditional etiquette. It's traditional Jewish etiquette. But you're asking, I can't know where to respond to this. I mean, there's a lot of discussion in the post-game whether there's an obligation to come to your head with a hat. And there was a big discussion on the Hijra, which I was very much involved in. What I maintain is how simple I have to do. Usur. It's usur, but you know, the yeshiva world claims you have to wear a hat when you daven. And based on the Gemara Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says, you gotta come wear a hat when you daven. And of course, the next line says, like you would appear in front of an important person. So I said, and the Mishnah Berurah says, it depends each locale, and how you dress, and what you wear. There's in front of the king, you might wear gloves, right? But in Poland, nobody wore gloves. No question, I wear gloves when I daven. The whole discussion, and it's clear from the Mishnah Berurah, the etiquette is relative to the location and evident. So I wrote on this male Jewish, which is in the Halakha discussion group, that it's also to wear a hat, because the Shulchan Aruch says so. Shulchan Aruch says you have to wear a hat. I says, no, Shulchan Aruch says you have to wear a hat like you would dress in front of an important person. And no, nowadays, nobody wears a hat in front of an important person. It's considered improper. Anyway, so this led to a great major discussion. Your question is right on. And I could see arguments either way. It's not true. It's based on the pasuk. That's actually Yishayahu Navi is saying, you do this, you do that. Would you do that in front of the prince? Would you do that in front of the prince? You do it to God. So that seems to be a criterion for the etiquette. What goes on? How you would normally act? Okay. ומשום שבשל סופרים הלך אחר מגיל, he says, furthermore, this is only rabbinic. And we don't know which way to lean, so since it's rabbinic, you go after the leaning position. וכן כתב מרן החידה בשל התשובות חיים שאל, ועוד שמסתמות דברי השעש שלנו בברכות, מוכח להקל כמו שכתב הקרא. And he says, you know, if you really look at the Gemara don't seem to be that you don't have to come here. על פי הראשונים הנאלה, like the Rishonim mentioned, the Rajbo, and the Rosh, and the Rambam. וכן דעת המרשל, הפרחדש, מיקר הדין. That's מיקר הדין. That's what the unmarried women are relying on. They're relying on the fact that from the Gemara it seems that you don't have to cover your hair when you daven, when they brush. Lachein na'arov gavakot. Okay, we're in the middle of that paragraph. Lachein na'arov gavakot shichbad aleihem lachasot roshan. And it's difficult for them to cover their hair. B'chol et shiaskivu shem Hashem b'psukim b'brachot. That they find it very difficult to cover their hair when every time they mention God's name b'psukim b'brachot. Hanichlo otam al ikar din. Leave them alone, because it seems that ikar din, there's something to rely on. V'amnam tam ze yikon kidei shelo limcho. That's a good enough reason that we shouldn't object. B'toke, the strength. B'idei ha'mikilot b'zav. Those are the shiyesh lein amash. Because they have a good halakhic position to rely on. I mentioned this philosophy of psak several times before. I talked about why don't rabbis get up and holler and scream that women should daven twice, three times, maybe three times. Why don't they get up? All the poskim say it. There are one or two poskim who say it. But the vast majority, what's the one or two, so if I can say that. But the major poskim all say that the women have to daven shmoesrei twice, maybe three times a day. So how come the rabbis don't get up and holler and scream? It's just because if you have if there's a solid halakhic position on what under which women can the women rely on, you can't be kidding. You have no right to holler and scream. You can coax them. You can, you know, you can say you really should. You can cajole them, but you can't. There are limits. It says same thing here. Since there's a sizable halakhic position which says that you don't.
Right.
Okay.
But not only in Spanish,
What? Unmarried. Okay, and I don't ever remember unmarried women going there. I do remember seeing movies with girls going to church with their head with wearing hats, but that's not like getting dressed up. It's not I don't know if they always did. Now, what's interesting is, and this is what's important here, we'll talk about this now, the question, that in the church, the men uncovered their heads, and the women dafka covered their heads. Right? Now, the question is, as you said, is that Galatia cup? Or is the church custom merely harking back to what was the old Jewish custom? You don't like that?
It wasn't only in church. It wasn't only in church. It was always a sign of respect or woman's hat.
Men.
Yes.
The women covered their
hat. So when you go to the queen,
they do wear hats. I don't know. I've only seen the queen in pictures.
But I think that's because they're caution.
The men also wear hats, but they take their hat off. They wear their hats to the affair, but they take their hat off at the affair. They wouldn't keep their hats off. Now, that essentially now becomes the Tzitzel-Yezer of Waldenberg's starting point for our custom. Essentially, what Waldenberg says, let's read Waldenberg inside, okay? Let's turn the page. And the Waldenberg wants to explain why unmarried women don't cover their hair and why married women do. When it comes to brachot. Now, as an underlying code, you must have to say clearly that halachically, you don't have to cover your hair. Okay? That's the original source. Let's see what he says. Well, the fi has berosh al hachatam sofer. And we're sort of starting right in the middle. I'm trying to give you just one paragraph from the tshuva, so you'll just bear with me. The fi has berosh al hachatam sofer. The Chatam Sofer, related to some other issue, points out that we act in reaction to the non-Jewish world. And Ati Shapiro, everything works out fine. Ukamin Chomer, it comes out as like an afortio, as a kavachom. Ati Shapiro, mashallah, echmiru avotenu b'chlal b'gili rosh b'nekevot priyo. That the halacha never was stringent about unmarried women covering their hair. Ukfi has beroham of fugash possession of Chatam Sofer, as the Chatam Sofer explains. Why? What did he say? Mne shtika v'chumra, shekibalnu b'zeh aleinu b'scharim. The stringency that the males accept upon themselves, humidina, is from based on halacha. But where does it stem from? Mikoach shesa'u kein ovi avodah zarah, chok l'avodah zarah. Because the idolaters would dafka cover their heads, uncover their heads. V'hu aso came rak b'scharim, then covering with the head was only by the males. V'lo b'nekevo, sh'darabe it b'hu kapeda b'nehem, sh'lo telechna b'gili rosh l'beta b'nazara. They're very makbid not to walk with their uncovered in the house of the idolaters, referring them clearly to churches. V'ati shapim namin ma sh'lo echmiru avotenu aleinu. Why they were never stringent upon us, shall kopone bishar askarat Hashem, v'amirat v'amim shekhtusha, yichasu rashan achotmiyot, the shukmiyot should cover their head. They never instituted that. V'nesha az adirabba, on the contrary, hayenir eze mamash kalicha b'chukotem, it would look like we're following their chukim, their laws. Da'ahema shemakbidim ten shalot elachna, an Hashem begide rosh b'vet avodos. They walk with the dafka, they cover their head. וכן היה יוצא איפה גם בפנויות, שבדרך כלל הולכות גלוי את ראש. Therefore, what comes out therefore, that by פנויות, would normally walk with their hair uncovered. ורק בהזכרת השם, באמירת דברים של קדושה, מחסות ראשם, and then they would only cover their hair. That's what you want them to do. Normally they walk with their hair uncovered. Now they come to shore, and now they want them to cover their hair. The gain would lead to a loss. Because why? Then you're able to do it like the idolaters do. Right? The Catholics do it, they cover their hair. Mishumkach kashem shelo achmiru alein b'derech klal. Just as they were not machmir with them in general, they should cover their hair. Shelo tilach medluy at rosh, that they're allowed to walk with their hair covered. Kach lo achmiru b'yuchah b'shech haskarat Hashem b'mirat v'hom shemdusha. So therefore, they were not stringent about unmarried women, that they can say God's name and in with their hair covered. So essentially what he's saying is that because of the reaction to idolaters and the way they acted in their churches, the Chazal Halacha never required unmarried women to cover their hair. They may have required the men, they may have required married women who always cover their hair. But unmarried women they didn't require, because then it would look like they're doing exactly like the idolaters. Just as the Christians cover their hair, so they cover their hair.
Started eating matzah in April. I mean, we wouldn't stop eating matzah if they're doing it. You know, if there's an overriding halacha that says the yes or no, who's responsible for all that? But it doesn't make the argument doesn't seem. The argument seems to
be
that halacha is blank on it,
but
therefore the secondary.
Exactly.
Then
it's
also in the main. I think he's assuming that the main makor for a kippah is b'chukutei halotzei. And therefore, that's the main
of course. Oh, sorry. Yeah, but look, the problem with that is that that's only true. It's only true in the Christian circles. What about in Muslim circles? It's not true.
Right,
and the question is, at what point would the custom of kippah begin? When did the halacha, when did the requirement begin to cover your hair? Was it always there? There's a lot of sociology, a lot of history that has to be done here, and it's not clear. Avadi Yosef in Yabia Omer, in the lengthy tshuva, he discusses, I don't find that problem very convincing at all. I just don't, it's the Chatam Sofer speculation, and it's not, there's no reason. But let me just explain to you what we learned from this. And I mentioned this before. The custom of married women to cover their hair before they, in the mikvah, is actually brought in the postgame. And they say that the reason why they cover their hair is because you shouldn't make a bracha with your hair uncovered, like men. The custom of women who don't normally cover their hair, but when they ben shlich, they cover their hair.
It's not here.
Because that's talking about modes of hair covering, because it's new, not modes of hair covering, because it's old. In any case, those customs have a real source. It's not trivial, it's not hypocritical. I mean, there's a special requirement, a special idea that you cover your hair. And then my mother-in-law, for instance, who doesn't normally cover her hair on Shabbat, because her husband makes Kiddush, or when she benches, or she covers her hair. And again, it's not when she benches. She's not hypocritical. It's simply because there's a special, it has to do with covering your hair. That would seem inconsistent.
That's what people laugh about when Pagos are like, why don't you take the bracha off of the screen? No. So why are you throwing something on the
screen? Should I say because I tell Lashon Hara, because I tell Lashon Hara I shouldn't do Shabbos? I mean, mad and people. Look, part of the goal of the shiur is to have people learn halacha, be able to function as best they can consistently. If you're asking me, should women be consistent? Should women cover their hair for benching the thing in the hand, and for benching, and for nikkun and dun? The answer is yes. Would I make a big to-do about it? Well, after you've read the source, yeah, ding, ding. You know, there are sources this way, there are sources that way. I mean, there is ground to be lenient. It's not ground to be lenient, but I think if you're asking me, and I'm just trying to give you the feeling that Avadi Yosef said. Since he already said that, yes, it is a proper, it's considered a form of respect in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and there are good sources of, yes. Well, there is clearly good sources. It's very solid. When it comes to Shmoneh Esrei, she should come. The woman who's at home, who's davening, right? Even though she's nobody around, the probably she has no obligation, she should cover her hair for Shmoneh Esrei. That, because the Rambam says, even the Rambam's of the means, because you don't have to cover your hair, when it comes to Shmoneh Esrei, you're in God's presence. You should put on it, you should cover your hair because that's, you're in God's presence. That's it's different being in the palace of the king. By the way, I would also say that women who want to be strict, it's not as complicated as you think. What you do is you wash your hands and then you go like this when you make the bracha. I mean, take your sleeve. You can't use it. It doesn't require you to put on a full hat or something like that. Look at the Muslims in the long, it says a longer text. But just to make a bracha, you go like this with the sleeve. Right? You can't use your body because the body doesn't cover the body. It's considered the same thing. Be covering, just make the bracha on it. Now, eat with your head covered. You know, it's only the bracha part itself that requires that covering. It's a matter of doing it for 15 seconds, that's all.
I think the reason that women cover their heads for the lakat nevrot and not the other kohot is because they usually say a tefillah, which is, for some women, is the only tefillah they say during the week. And they feel that they are in kohot, and that's what
I think it's also, yeah, it's, I think there is something special. It's a special feeling. You do special things. And there's not...
I think it's not for women. What?
But if you think halakhically, I'm not talking about the psychology of being special. I'm talking about halakha. Halakha is no different than the other bracha you make. Okay? I don't deny, if you say that there's a special thing, they special tefillah, yes, there, I would tend to agree with you. I think that's a very interesting part of which I didn't think about.
I probably do because that's what they
saw. There's no question. And their mothers did it because they saw their mothers do it. But at some point, there's the Big Bang, right? At some point, you got to stop. Right? And something's got to begin somewhere. What's our logic?
Yeah,
like, no, they wash. Okay. Right? They wash. It's not. They wash before they said all the
My grandmother, when she was in Europe, she covered her hair, all of her hair. And then when she came to America at a certain point, she stopped covering her hair, and she just put on a tefillah for her lakat nevrot, and she said a long tefillah, and it was probably the wrong tefillah because she wasn't that educated. And my mother didn't say
it. There's a tefillah for her
And my mother does the same to this day. So, I mean, and I'm sure there are a lot of
There's a lot of women's learning. I met my mother once, that's got from Abba. At the end, when after her prayer, which is a beautiful prayer, it's in Yiddish. Like she asks, where you went as the Shabbos is going away, you ask about your family, and it's a beautiful, beautiful story. She says that too, and she has her hair covered. I think the point you're raising about saying the special tefillah at that point is an interesting argument. But I think there's a valid, there's a very valid position. All right. So I just want to say I had a question that was asked me about do women have to cover their hair in a woman's prayer group? I don't want to get to women's prayer group. The question is about a woman's prayer group, do women have to cover their hair? And I said,
predominantly.
A woman's prayer group.
Is that a question?
I said, well, yes. I said, you should cover your hair in the women's prayer group. But if you don't count the time, you won't bring the house down. But we're going to look it up. McCall, say it. The answer is, the lean is, yes, you should cover your hair. Okay, but if you don't, yes, I'll be listening. But that seems to be the bend. And we now understand why women cover their hair at certain points of time, and it's not inconsistent, and it's because they're not being based on what like, and I will say it to you. Next week, we'll talk about pants. I said that to me, well, I've got distractions.
Yeah.